Continue to worship the Lord here.
Praise your name, Lord. Hallelujah.
So we go to the Lord in prayer and we open our service. It's such a beautiful song. I don't know how many times we've sang this in our church, that and each and every time it just touches my heart. It just reminds me of the sacrifice, of the love that God has shown us, and through Jesus Christ and His dedication to each and every one of us. You know, when He died on that cross, we can say years and years ago, He was looking at this moment.
Yes, hallelujah.
He knows who's here this morning. He knows our hearts. He knows our prayer requests. He knows our needs. He knows the situations in our families. And He can see, even in that darkness, that we think things are hidden or that can't be fixed. But He is the light.
Amen.
That comes into that darkness.
Yes, He is.
And as we open up now, as we pray, I want you just to take a moment. We're going to worship Him first.
Hallelujah.
And then we're going to pray.
Glory, hallelujah.
And we're going to completely, I'm going to ask you, those watching online, those standing here, if you're watching online, it doesn't stop you from raising your hand and worshiping God.
Praise God. Right. Hallelujah.
Even in the privacy of your living room or your bedroom or from your hospital bed or wherever you're at. And for those of you here now,
thank you, Lord.
Might have been the best week in your life. Might have been the best of everything. Well, then we should praise Him.
Glory. Hallelujah.
It might have been that wind started blowing and you were fearful as last night when the thunder and all started rolling in at darkness. But we should praise Him.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And even during the storm and even that, He still gave us a beautiful morning.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that we have. I love each and every one of you. And if you have a prayer request or a need, or you know someone that does, let's acknowledge that by just lifting up our hand in faith to the Lord and just giving it to Him. Lord, we just praise You this morning. Lord, we thank You. The Lord, You being King, dear Lord, that You would come to this earth and die for me. Die for us, dear Lord, that You would sacrifice Yourself, the purest Lamb, dear Lord. Lord, that perfection that ever walked this earth, dear Lord, for us. The Lord, we praise You, dear Lord. We thank You for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. Lord, for Your Spirit, dear Lord, that You've left us, dear Lord, for the Holy Ghost, that we can come directly to You, dear Lord, for rending that veil from the top to the bottom. Lord, that we have a direct path through prayer and faith to come to You, dear Lord, right now, and we bring You every situation. Dear Lord, whether it's anything that we just have in our heart, dear Lord, we ask You to touch, to mend, to protect, to guide, to heal, dear Lord, to prevail in these situations, dear Lord. We pray for our country. We pray for our state, for our community, for our church family, And to the Lord, for those that we know and come in contact with, to the Lord, we ask you just to be the Lord of Lords, the God of each and every situation. And Lord, we ask for you now just to continue, dear Lord, just pour your blessings out on us, dear Lord. Strengthen and guide us. Those that have lost a loved one, those that are traveling, those that may be at a distant place right now, dear Lord, we just thank you for this moment and this time you've given us. Dear Lord, it's not just here in the sanctuary. Dear Lord, it's everywhere that we go that would let you be our Lord and Savior. Lord, not just for this moment, forever and ever and into eternity. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for those that are here with us together. As we stand together in one mind and one accord, dear Lord, we ask for you just to minister to us. And Lord, we just want to praise you in Jesus' name. And we all say,
Amen.
Amen. Let's give him a hand clap of praise. Praise God. Praise God. You know, what a beautiful morning the Lord's given us. And I have some good news for you. And that's exactly what we're going to sing about, some good news. Page 306, The Old Gospel Ship. And I love that. It was on my mind this morning. We just have good news just to talk about our Lord. Praise God. Everybody just sing.
I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing all my joy with you. I'll share, yes, Lord. I plan to take a trip to that good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air.
Hallelujah!
Oh, I'm going to take a trip to that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky.
Jesus Christ loves each and every one of you. You may be seated if you can. I don't want to slow down the service this morning. We just let the Lord just have His way. Just praise God. We're going to get ready and take up our morning offering. I'm going to ask Miss Penny to give us an update or all the announcements for Vacation Bible School if she's ready and got all her facts together. I'm trying to say it right. I'm excited this morning.
VBS starts tonight.
All right.
So y'all be here at 6 o'clock. I do need the ones that will stay all day today and help us. We got to get all of this in here decorated, and we got a couple other things we got to decorate. So we really need everybody that can to stay and help. So tonight we will have our kickoff, and then we'll have food afterwards. And then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday we'll have food from 6 to 6:45, and VBS starts from, it'll go from 7 to 9. So y'all come and tell everybody you know to bring their all kids of all ages.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. So excited about what God's doing and all the ministries. We just want to keep them all in our prayers. Just praise the Lord. Brother Billy, would you ask the Lord to bless our offering this morning, please? Yes. Amen.
Rise. He's God. Death is defeated.
Yes.
Amen. King is alive. Glory to God. Give Him praise this morning. Amen. Where we said, I'm planning on taking a trip. How many is planning on taking a trip? Yeah. Going home with Jesus. Amen. May not know the hour and may not know the day. But I'm going to be leaving. Amen. Amen. When He calls me away. Amen. You know it, sing it with me. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls the church away. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls the church away. Well, the captain of the vessel, he's calling, get on board. And the destination's heaven, safe on the crystal shore. We'll meet with our Savior and our loved ones who have gone. We'll live through all eternity. Thank God I'm going home. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, or I may not know the day. I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His church away. I'm listening for the trumpet sound most any time. And a crown of life that's waiting, thank God, will soon be mine. I've got my invitation through a place called Calvary. By the precious blood of Jesus, the trip been paid for me. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, but I may not know the day. Jesus, I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His church away. Well, I'm listening for the trumpets sound most any time. And a crown of life that's waiting, thank God will soon be mine. I've got my invitation through a place called Calvary. And by the precious blood of Jesus, will the judgment be for me? I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His church away. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His church away. Well, praise God. Calls the church away.
in the twinkling of an eye. I made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away.
I'm listening for the trumpet to sound most any time, and the crown of life that's waiting then comes to be mine. I got my invitation through a place called Calvary. By the precious blood of Jesus, the trip's been paid for me. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my reservation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, or may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his church away. Going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye.
Ready as I can. about you.
Yes.
One more time.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready for a miracle?
Yes. Amen.
Praise God. Well, glory to God. My. God is so great. Greatly to be praised. Amen.
Amen.
If you've been touched by Jesus this morning, give Him a hand clap of praise.
Glory. Glory. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. I believe the mighty God that we serve loves us to such a degree that not only He hears the cries and the prayers of the church, I'm talking about the remnant of God. Doesn't take a lot to be a remnant. But the remnant has to be in one mind and one accord.
Yes.
I believe the remnant is praying and seeking a mighty move of God. And God has heard from heaven. He's going to pour out of His blessing and His anointing. And He's going to pour out, amen, even in the latter days, a glorious blessing. I believe, as I've often said, we're going to be surprised who gets saved and who gets filled with the Spirit of the Lord. I'm looking for a great end time revival, aren't you? If you love Jesus, give Him one more hand clap of praise. Amen. If you would with me this morning, turn to the book of St. John, in the 15th chapter of the book of St. John. I'd like to focus our attention this morning on verses 1 through 4. The writings of John. Chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. Jesus' words, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." Again in verse 4. "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we love You and we thank You, God, for Your mercy, for Your grace, Your abounding love. For those who have gathered here this morning, God, to worship You and entertain that Spirit, God, that You have so graciously blessed us with. Father, help us to be submissive and obedient to Your will. Father, I ask You now humbly, Lord, to anoint these lips of clay. God, anoint this vessel, Lord, that, God, You might speak to our hearts this morning. God, I pray, Lord, that You would meet each and every need that's in this house this morning. Reach out to those who are sick and suffering. Father, I pray right now, God, that You would just give us that heavenly manna that we need so much. And Father, we'll look to You to give You the praise, the honor, and the glory, for we ask these blessings in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. How good it is to be in the house of the Lord. How good it is to feel His presence. Amen. I'm so thankful that no matter what we face, we have one that will never leave us nor forsake us. But in fact, His word says, "I will go with you all the way, even unto the end." This morning, from that passage of Scripture, there is a thought that is burning in my heart and in my soul this morning that I want to impart unto you this morning. In fact, if I had a title, it would be Jesus Christ, Encounter or Relationship? Jesus Christ, Encounter or Relationship? The dictionary from the Bible tells us that encounter simply means an unexpected or a casual meeting with someone, whereas relationship is the state of being connected by blood or marriage, the way in which two or more people are connected. We know from the Word of God and from the stories that are written in the Bible. This week, Sister Penny and I have been watching, and probably some of you, I know some of the young people in the classes downstairs have been watching the series The Chosen. And it's remarkable and very enjoyable and entertaining. But it also reiterated a point that the Bible bears out as well. Jesus affected millions of lives. Multitudes gathered around him. But not every one of those was a true relationship. Many of those were, in fact, a mere encounter with Christ. And it's sad to say that the world today seemingly is acting out the same way that is when Jesus walked on this earth. I would charge this morning that many people simply want an encounter with Jesus. A casual meeting, a comforter, a physician, a psychologist, a helper. But they don't want to retain him. They don't want to obey the word of the Lord. Jesus did not come to destroy the law, by the way. He came to fulfill it. Amen? Aren't you glad that we know the difference? Amen? I know the Old Testament was a schoolmaster, but Jesus Christ himself came to fulfill the law, to be that mediator, amen, to be that go-between between us and the Heavenly Father, amen, because none of us were able to keep the law, but thank the Lord that Jesus Christ came and took our sins and nailed them to the cross of Calvary. That's a relationship with Jesus. Prior to me having a relationship with Jesus, I was blessed to have many encounters with the Lord. I was blessed to have a mom and dad who were devout Christians, committed and faithful to the church and to God. Maybe I should say God first and the church second. But they raised my brother and myself in church. Many times the Spirit of the Lord would come down in a wonderful way, and I would have an encounter with the Spirit of the Lord. I would feel His presence. Amen. And that's the greatest feeling that there is. Now, being a young boy, even in my adolescent years, some of this was soon forgotten the minute we walked out of the church. Or if not, maybe by Monday morning anyway. But in all of that, I knew about the mercy, I knew about the grace, and I knew it about the loving compassion that Christ had. And I knew that sooner or later I would have another encounter with the Spirit of the Lord. But later on in my life, I realized that it was getting harder and harder for me to live from one encounter to the next. You might put it this way. I needed a booster shot. Come on. Sometimes my spiritual tank would drain before we had another service. And I know, and I agree, that you don't have to be in church to worship the Lord. I've heard that. Believe me, as a pastor, I have heard that. And I will nod my head and say, you're exactly right. And my response sometimes is, I don't have to go to the kitchen either to eat, but it sure is a good place to find food. Amen, Brother Eddie. And I realized that just an encounter was not sufficient. Come on, somebody. I loved it. Enjoyed it. Let me tell you something. There is a big, big difference in watching somebody shout as opposed to shouting with somebody. There is a huge difference in seeing somebody glorify and praise the Lord in another language and you just sitting by with an encounter than opposed to actually being involved and receiving that Spirit and that anointing from Almighty God. And once you have tasted it, there is nothing in this world that can compare to the infilling of the Spirit of the Lord. Glory to God. So I realized an encounter was not satisfaction to me. It was for a little bit, but short-lived. And the writers of the Word of the Lord in the four Gospels begin to tell us of many encounters that Jesus had. They tell us of the lame, not man, but men. Many were lame, and healed by Jesus. I would dare say so many that even the four Gospels could not write all of the healings that Jesus performed during his 3.5 years of ministry and healing. The blind, yes. The lepers, many. Those with palsy, those who could not walk. How many remembers Jairus who came to Jesus and my daughter is dying? Jesus touched, healed him. But I may stand corrected, but I don't recall where Jairus became a devout follower or joined the band of 12 that followed Jesus. But he had an encounter, as so many other people in the Bible. The woman at the well, we do know that she began to testify of Jesus. She began to go out and tell the city, come meet a man who knew everything about me. But later on, we don't record or we don't read where she became a devout follower of Christ, even though Christ changed her life and spoke to her. Bartimaeus, who heard that Jesus was coming, and he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus heard him and went over to the side of the road and healed blind Bartimaeus. Maybe we read that Bartimaeus followed for a little while, which is a sad situation in itself. Many have started out following Christ upon the healing of their body or the loved one or having an encounter, only to find themselves not nearly as committed and devoted and as faithful as they should be. Christ is looking for commitment, because Christ is all about commitment. He was about commitment because he knew his mission. He began to give little tidbits to his disciples, his devout followers, that I won't be with you always like you see me. There's going to be a time. And finally, he just had to tell them, I am going to be crucified. I am going to be arrested. I am going to a place that you cannot accompany me there. And he let them know that he would, in fact, send the Comforter back to them, those that truly desired a relationship with Jesus. We read in the Bible where there was a man intrigued by Jesus. Listen, if you're a Bible reader, be easily to be intrigued by Jesus. I mean, this man that just kind of sprang up, the son of a carpenter. In the story, it kept saying, of Nazareth? How can anything come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was just a little place. Evidently, there had not been anybody popular coming out of Nazareth. And people would say, how can this be? This Jesus of Nazareth. I mean, he knows that Jesus came in a humble beginning. Amen. But still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Zacchaeus was intrigued by the story of Jesus. And the Bible says that Zacchaeus was a short man of stature. And he could not see over the crowd. But Zacchaeus took it a step farther, and he went and he climbed up in a sycamore tree so that he could see Jesus. And when Jesus came by, he merely looked up and saw Zacchaeus and said, come on down, I'm going to go eat with you. And Zacchaeus, being a sinner, didn't set well with the religious sect of that world. But we don't recall, nor at least do I recall, where Zacchaeus said, you know what, I'm going to leave everything behind and I'm going to follow you devoutly. He merely had an encounter with Jesus. And as I relate these different stories and these different people, I want you to understand that, maybe they did. Maybe their lives were changed forever. But the Bible doesn't record it. And it makes me wonder today when I hear people say, yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm a born-again Christian. But I wonder if, in fact, they are a devout follower and have a relationship with Jesus. Man, I had a few encounters before I met my wife. Is she safely tucked away in the nursery? But none of those was a commitment. You husbands and wives know what I'm talking about. There's something that, you know, they used to say bells go off and all of these things. I didn't hear no bells. Now, she's rung my bell a couple of times since we've been married, but I did not hear bells. But I felt a genuine attachment. Let me tell you how I know it. Because when you're away from them and not in their presence, there is a desire to be with them. There's a desire to just sit and chat and talk. My wife and I, before we got married, we talked about a lot of things. Because if I am anything, I am a procrastinator. And if y'all want to wait a while, I'll tell you why. I procrastinate. I look over the situation. I measure it. I weigh it out. Some people say, you should have done had it done by now. I'm still measuring it out. So for 5 years, we dated. And we talked about a lot of things. And we found out that we had a lot of things in common. And we enjoyed our one another's fellowship. And we enjoyed being together. And you know what? That relationship turned into love. And it's still love today. And I'm thankful for that love that is there between a husband and a wife. And I sort of associate that with the relationship with Jesus. Because as I said, I had many wonderful encounters with the Lord. In the Little Rock Mark Church, where my granddaddy was a pastor for many, many years, I enjoyed the service. I enjoyed the singing. I even drug my little guitar to church, and that's where I learned to follow along with the other guitar players there. I loved all of that. But something was missing, amen? Something just wasn't really inbred down in my heart until that night that I came up and I said, I'm no longer satisfied with just a casual acquaintance. I'm no longer satisfied with seeing other people shout victory. I want what they have. I want what you have given me. I want what you died on the cross for Calvary for me. And thank God I entered into a relationship with the King of Kings, Jesus Christ Himself. The Bible tells us multitudes thronged Him. We see and we read where that Jesus' fame went throughout the country. We find that when He crossed the little sea in a boat, that many people were waiting on the other side. Can I suggest to you that it was for just an encounter? Just what can I receive of you? Can you heal my body? Can you speak to this vexation or this spirit that I have? And Jesus did. We think about Legion. And he recognized Jesus Christ. And that even demons even spoke to Jesus. But Jesus cast that spirit out. Legion had an encounter with the Lord. Hopefully, and I don't know, the Bible doesn't record. I hope that it turned into a relationship. Over the years, we've had people come into this church to have an encounter with Jesus. Why? Because there was a need. There was a sickness or an illness. Or just the feeling of being lost and destitute. Only to leave feeling good. But the follow-up does not suggest to me, and I'm no judge. God never called me to be a judge. He merely called me to be a servant, a minister. That's what a minister is, one who attends to the needs of others. But as we see the fruit, or the lack of, we sometimes wonder if an encounter is all they really wanted, and not a true lasting relationship. But the Bible tells us, out of the multitudes that came for healing, that came for an anointing, and he even fed the 5,000 after he ministered to them. The Bible depicts that merely a handful were present at his crucifixion. I know that Jesus, being God, robed in flesh, immaculate in spirit, powerful in virtue, long-suffering, and gentle and meek and all of those. But the human side of Jesus, the flesh, can you imagine the number of encounters that he could recollect in his mind as he hung there on the cross, the cruel cross of pain and agony and suffering, as he looked over the crowd? There was a crowd that gathered, but many of those just came to see who this was that was being crucified. But filtered out throughout it, there were some who were devout followers who truly mourned the fact that Jesus, the Messiah, was hanging on the cross. But we don't understand and we don't know why the countless numbers who've had an encounter with Jesus were not present, or if they were, they weren't recorded in the Word. Where was the multitude? Where was those with spirits cast out of them? Where were those lepers? Those lame, those halt, those blind, those mute. The Bible doesn't record, because they merely had an encounter, a chance meeting, but not committed and dedicated and connected. But there were some who truly left everything they had. There were some that left family, left businesses, and they became devout followers of Christ. The Bible goes on to tell us that when he gave up the ghost, not died, but when he gave up the ghost, and he later on, as he rose from the tomb, somebody shout glory. Listen, the God I serve is not in a tomb in Israel. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And just to further reiterate, the God I serve is not in a manger in Bethlehem. Glory to God. The God I serve is omnipresent. The God I serve is here this morning. And thank God, because I have a relationship. The God I serve is now living in this tabernacle. Glory to God. Not just a chance encounter, but an everlasting relationship with Jesus. Hallelujah. When the stone was rolled away, glory to God, and when he told them to go and tarry in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. Not a multitude gathered in Jerusalem. Not the 5,000 that was gathered to hear and receive of Jesus on that fateful day that he took the fishes and the loaves and he broke them and fed 5,000. Now, 120 may sound like a lot to our congregation, but 120 out of the countless numbers that Jesus, the Messiah, had affected during his short 3.5 years of ministry was a drop in the bucket to the people who had an encounter with Jesus. A very small number gathered with anticipation, gathered with a desire to receive the promise that Christ gave them. Bible doesn't tell us exactly the names of all that were there, but he does share that there were some very present or very knowledgeable and notable that were there in the house of the upper room. And we've read those, the disciples and the mother and some of those others. But I often wonder who were the others that made up the 120. And maybe there were some, to give the benefit of the doubt, maybe there were some of those that we mentioned today. My hope and prayer is that they were. If you've ever received of anything from Jesus, you need to become more
than just a chance encounter. You mean to have a lasting relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to see Him again. I said, I want to be with Him again through eternity. Amen. Glory. It's not all about me. It's because I love Jesus and I want to be with Him forever. That's the lasting relationship. But there were some encounters, thank God, that turned into relationships. You ever heard the term love at first sight? Amen. Sometimes it doesn't happen that way. I have heard of people, you're going to smile, who really couldn't stand one another to start with. He thinks he's all that and a bag of chips. Where do bag of chips come from? I don't understand it. Oh, she is so snooty. You ever heard that word? Yeah, we had some of them in school. You know, they were just prissy, 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 you know, and you just automatically checked them off the list because I knew I didn't have a chance with them. Snooty. I have seen relationships where, honestly, they did not match. They was totally opposite, did not. But later on, something happened. A chance encounter turned into a lasting relationship. It's awfully quiet because nobody wants to admit that you didn't like your spouse to start with, right? But there was something deeper than physical attraction. There was something there that turned into love, and that love turned into commitment, and that commitment turned into a lasting relationship. There was a character in the Bible. His name was Saul. Saul was dedicated and he was committed to the wrong thing. You can be committed to the wrong thing. You need to be committed to Christ. Saul was seeking out the Christians. And he was having them beaten, pulled out of the house. Even stood there at the stoning of Stephen. But he had an encounter. Come on. Maybe you can think of the first time that the spirit of conviction had an encounter with you. Maybe you were like me. You said, nope, not now. Not ready. I feel it, but I'm not ready to commit. But Saul had an encounter with the Spirit of the Lord on his way to Damascus. Listen, don't ever tell this old boy that you're too bad to live for Jesus Christ. Because I'll turn around and tell you that's exactly who he died for. Amen. There ain't none of us good enough. There's not any of us holy enough. There's not enough righteousness in us to make it to heaven without the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But he saw something in Saul, and Saul had an encounter with the Spirit of the Lord. And you know the story. The apostle wrote so many of the epistles because he had to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you know what I'm talking about, give Him praise in the house this morning. If you're thankful for a relationship with Jesus, we know that because Paul wrote in the book of Galatians, in the second chapter and verse number 20, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. My, what a transformation. What a change of attitude. Hallelujah. How many is thankful Jesus Christ came into your life and changed your attitude and transformed you into just a mere encounter but gave you a lasting relationship? One that I treasure above anything in my life. Because without Christ, I am nothing. But through Christ, I can do all things. Saul had an encounter that turned in to a relationship.
And thank God that that can happen. But it's got to come from the heart. It's got to come from repentance. It's got to come from recognition that I'm lost without Christ. That I can't make it without Him. That I am a sinner. Regardless of what sin you've committed, regardless of how vile it is or whatever, amen, you still need to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. The only thing that can redeem us is the blood of Jesus Christ. And Paul understood that and recognized that and had that relationship with Jesus and saw many others come to Christ under his anointed preaching and ministry. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John, chapter number 2, verses 3 through 6. Hereby we know, or we do know, that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. Being Christ-like, being Christians, mean is to let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. To have a lasting relationship, to be submissive, obedient to his word and to his will, keeping his commandments and abiding in him. Abiding is so important that when I read the scripture text this morning, you saw me hold up three fingers because in that verse alone, John referred to the abide or abided three different times that we must abide in Christ so that he will abide in us. That is, in fact, a relationship, not just merely an encounter. Amen. And finally this morning, I want to go to the book again of St. John in the 17th chapter. Verses 21 through 22. Christ here, knowing that his time on earth would soon be over, and again was preparing his most devout followers, those who had in fact a lasting relationship with him. And he was describing to them about his spirit. In verse number, let's start with verse number 21. That they all may be one, he's speaking to his Father, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hadst sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now, my way of reading that is good, much deeper than a mere encounter with Christ. That to me denotes an everlasting relationship with Jesus Christ, to have his spirit in me and I in him, meaning I walk in the spirit as the spirit leads me. I am forgiven of my sins, not because my name is on no church roll book, not because I play an instrument or I preach the gospel. My name is on the roll, amen, because of the blood of Jesus Christ, amen. Can you give it up for Jesus this morning and thank him for a lasting relationship? One in Christ as he is one in the Father. I'm so thankful that the relationship denotes the oneness in the Spirit of God. When my granddaddy performed the marriage ceremony for Penny and myself, he referred to the two flesh become one. And over the years, we've begin to understand that. It means more than just both of you can sign your name on the check. Amen. I don't have to sign my checks anymore. because that one part of my body handles the finances in our relationship. But we are one. We're one. Have you ever been with your spouse so long that before you can finish your sentence, they do it for you? It's almost like they can read your mind. And you're almost about to ask a question, and I'll answer it before you even ask it. That's because there's that kindred spirit there, that you have a lasting relationship. And folks, I cannot tell you how blessed I am to be able to say that I am in a lasting relationship with Jesus Christ. It's been great. It's been wonderful. Still have problems. Still have issues. But I have a comforter. I've been reminded this week of the comforter. And I think of so many today who've merely had an encounter with Christ who may not be able to rely on that comforter if they don't have that lasting relationship with Jesus Christ. Because if, in fact, you have that relationship of Jesus Christ, you have relinquished your flesh to Him. That's what you're saying, Lord, not only do I want you to be my Savior, I want you to be my Lord as well. I want to live under your guidance and under your authority, and I want to do your will, and I want your will to supersede my will. Amen. That's what Christ gave as his example as he was in a body of flesh. So if, in fact, you've been just kind of floating along with a casual acquaintance, casual encounter, some people say it like this, you just kind of use Jesus when you need him. And there's many, many in the world like that, unfortunately. But thank God, as I mentioned earlier, there's a remnant. May not be big in number, but it's powerful. Glory to God. It's so powerful because the Bible says, I will give you power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. That remnant, amen, that has a lasting relationship with Jesus Christ is powerful. I believe the remnant is what's kind of holding things together, is the prayers of the true believers in Christ. Amen. Offering up praise and adoration to the Lord and having and living and exemplifying a lasting relationship with Jesus. If, in fact, you have not made him King and Lord of your life, please do so. Please do so. I believe it's detrimental that we now get our sins under the blood of Jesus Christ. Do not want to stand before the judgment seat, man, unless the blood has been applied to our life. Would you stand? Every head, please, bowed. Every eye closed. I know we're few in number today. I know a lot of people are sick. A lot of people are traveling. But you know what the Bible says? As many as two or three gathered in my name, I will be in their midst. And we can reach the throne of heaven this morning. Especially if there's one here under the sound of my voice that needs to rededicate, recommit, whatever the situation, this altar is open to you. If you have a need, please come forward. But in fact, if you know someone, if you have a loved one, if you have someone that you, a friend, an acquaintance that you know needs a touch from the Lord. Come on, I believe that we can reach heaven's thrones this morning with prayer. I believe that God will intercede on behalf of those. I pray that First Pentecostal will get a desire and a burden to see lost souls saved. I don't have a time clock, but I have the written word of God and the prophecy that is being unfolded before our very eyes to let us know that even the most worst procrastinator in the world, if they were truthful, would say this time is drawing near to an end. And that's a wonderful thing for those who are born again and those who have a lasting relationship with Jesus Christ, because we know we got a better place to go. But our heart goes out to those who have not made Christ their Lord and Savior. Is there one this morning? Is there one that would just lift your hand to let this pastor know you need prayer? God bless those hands. We see them and we'll be praying. May God bless you. I love you. I want to see every one of you in heaven. May God be with you today. Remember, tonight we will be having the kickoff for Vacation Bible School, so we will not be having service as usual. But please come and support our young people. Amen. Brother Jim, would you come and dismiss us with a word of prayer?
May God bless you. Thank you.
Praise God. Powerful, powerful message. Thank the Lord for His Word, for all that He has. Yes, Miss Penny.
The 25th.
Next Sunday. Wow. Been thinking about Vacation Bible School, not as much about homecoming. So yes, that announcement, it is the 25th. Looking forward to it to be after our morning service. As normal, we'll have our get together. But you're all invited next week, please. Depending on the Holy Ghost. That's right. That's right. It's up to the Lord. That's right. Praise God. But it is scheduled for the 25th, which is next Sunday. Man, this month.
We will be eating this year.
That's right.
We'll be eating.
Amen. And as always, just prepare bunches and just bring it and I'll help you eat it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Just love each and every one of you. Let's be in much prayer. There's been a lot of prayer requests going out. We know those that had to go to the emergency room recently. And those that are going through procedures and tests and recovery and all the different things. But God knows each and every one. Let's keep each one in prayer. And if you get an opportunity this morning, shake hands with somebody you hadn't had a chance to speak to. And be in much prayer for those that aren't with us. All hearts and minds clear. Just praise God. Let's be, and I want to speak this so we'll all continue to pray. Vacation Bible School is a very special time. And for the Lord just to touch each and every one involved in it, from the directors, the leaders, all the way down to the most littlest one that comes, even from the nursery age. There's so many fond memories, and I hope y'all have them too, of your childhood or situations now. So let's be in much prayer for our Vacation Bible School. Because as we know, the opportunity the children, every opportunity they have to hear about Jesus is a special time. Praise God. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You. Lord, we thank You for Your many blessings. Dear Lord, we thank You for Your Word. Lord, for us, allowing us to gather together this morning on this beautiful day. The good news that You bring us, dear Lord, all the testimonies of praise, dear Lord, all the touches that You're doing. We know that You've already touched and anointed those that have come forward for prayer today. Those hands that were raised, those unspoken prayer requests, dear Lord, we know, and with our faith in You, dear Lord, that You've got each and every situation. Guide us, direct us, and keep us. Lord, now in our Vacation Bible School, we ask that You'll keep Your hands upon each and everything done, that it goes for Your glory and Your glory alone, dear Lord. For all the set designs, Lord, for all the people working behind the scenes from the kitchen all the way to the classrooms, dear Lord, that You would just bless and anoint each and every person involved. And Lord, may we be in much prayer for the children. Dear Lord, children of all ages, dear Lord, that through this time, dear Lord, that we will not just entertain, but dear Lord, that Your Word will be brought forth, and they will hear the name of Jesus in every opportunity given. Lord, we give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name, and we all say, amen, amen. Have a wonderful afternoon. Praise God.